Matthew 15, please. Matthew 15. Matthew 15. We're going to begin reading in verse 10, if you would, please. Matthew 15, verse 10. Let's all stand. 15, verse 10. Several weeks ago, I think it was a Sunday night. Who knows? Could have been a Sunday morning, but I think it was Sunday night. I talked about traditions. We spent a Wednesday night discussing the subject of traditions. By the way, and please hear me, everybody has traditions. So let's not do the Billy Baptist thing of acting like that's other people's problems. We do this. We all have traditions. I'm going to do the second half of this tonight. I'm only going to say three things that you need to remember. Three things. They're going to be very simple, but two of them are most impossible to do. I would say two of them are impossible to totally do at a certain age. So, I decided I was going to deal with Job tonight, but I decided to preach on this mainly because, I'll just say it so you know right up front, because this guy's here, and I was in his shoes one day at 18 years old in the United States Navy, where it was either God or hell. There weren't a lot of options. You couldn't hide behind mom. I'm not talking about him. I'm talking about me. Couldn't hide behind mom's Christianity. You know, so for 4 years of my life, it was just the old guy you're looking at who was a young guy. There's no hiding. There's no game playing. It's just you do it or you die. Once you get married, once you have children, you know, you can still screw up. You can still mess up. But boy, it's a big difference because there's buffers in your life. When it's you and God, or it's going off the deep end. So we're going to talk about traditions, standards, fences around the law. You know, we talked about that for a couple of weeks, or a couple of services. We're going to begin. Now, Jesus has already addressed the Pharisees, look at me, directly. Now he's going to pull over and talk to the crowd for a minute, and then he's going to talk to the disciples. So this is an extension of what was been taught. All right, verse 10. And he called the multitude and said unto them, hear and understand. Not that which goeth into the mouth defileth a man, but that which cometh out of the mouth, this defileth a man. So that's kind of must be important. That's what he tells the crowd. Then came his disciples unto him, knowest thou, and said unto him, knowest thou that the Pharisees were offended after they heard this saying? Offended could have one or two or both meanings. It could have the meaning of they just took offense at this. Well, of course, you would take offense at it too when your whole life is about your standards. Let me say this. I'm just going to say it out loud, Jackie Boy Hiles make a fundamental doctrinal heresy on the person of Christ. He said publicly an entire sermon, Jesus was eternally human. But there was nobody in the church smart enough to know doctrine. But if you would have violated this much somebody's dress code, there would have been a war. There's reasons for this. Because we follow people more than Scripture. That's everybody. By the way, old Wayne Van Gelderen Sr. took Jackie Boy to task. He never preached that filth again. Now, he wasn't preaching it because he believed it. It was just one of his sermons to get people busy, of course. He says to the crowd, hear and understand. He then answers in verse 13 the disciples and said, every plant which my heavenly Father hath not planted shall be rooted up. Let them alone. they be blind leaders of the what? And if the blind lead the blind, both shall fall into the ditch. Then answered Peter and said unto him, by the way, Peter's still, I like Peter because he's like us. He never gets it. Why don't you please explain this parable? And you're like, there wasn't a parable. He doesn't get it. Then Jesus said, are you also yet without understanding? Do not ye yet understand that whatsoever entereth in the mouth goeth out, goeth into the belly and is cast out, basically just goes through your system. But those things which proceed out of the mouth come forth from the heart. They come from the heart, and they defile the man. For out of the heart proceed evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witness, blasphemies. These are the things which defile a man. But to eat with unwashing, and remember, unwashing doesn't mean, he's not talking about dirty hands here. He's talking about you have to do the right ceremony. Because if you don't do the right ceremony, according to, by the way, there's a whole book in the Talmud about this stuff. You got to do things right or you're not holy. He says, that's not the issue. You say, where does this stuff come from? Have you ever talked to somebody that's Amish? We were down in a place where the Amish live in Illinois, Arthur and Arcola. We went to a wonderful buffet there. There was a young lady, I could tell she had, you know, there's three kinds of people here that serve. There's Amish, Mennonite, and then she was kind of semi like a Mennonite. She talked to us about Christianity. She was a believer. She'd grown up Amish, and Amish had become a total cult. And when I say a cult, I mean no gospel. The gospel is your clothing from the 16 or 1700s. And the way you cut your beard and the hat that you wear. So we're going to talk about this whole issue of traditions, getting to an understanding. This will be helpful, I hope. I'm only going to say three big ideas. Let's pray. Father, I ask your blessing now that you will help me to share three very simple ideas tonight. Something I think can help all of us to step back, reconsider things that matter. In Christ's name, amen. You may be seated. Traditions, standards. Now, I want to say before I begin, this is not an anti-standard thing. I'm not against traditions. I'm not against standards. I'm not against fences around the law. Actually, I'm for them. I'm going to say three things to hopefully help all of us tonight. Let's start out with this. Where do you learn to cook? Well, if you grew up in a normal home like my mother, you learn from your mother how to cook. But not all mothers, by the way, you do realize not all mothers are good cooks. Do you realize that? Because your mother is a cook. So as far as you know, all mothers are cooks. They all make your mother's empanada. They all do all of that, right? Wrong. Well, the daughter had just gotten married. She got married, and it was Thanksgiving, and it was time to make the ham. But what if you don't know how to make the ham? What do? You call mom. So she talked to her mom. And by the way, I talked to my sisters a couple weeks ago during Thanksgiving. And both of them, I asked them a question. Can you make dressing like mom made it? And their answer is yes. But in this room, I doubt if there's a single person would even know the kind of dressing my mother makes. Maybe one or two. Is it better or worse? I don't know. But you only learn it from your mom. So she calls her mom and she says, Mom, I know some things. I bought the ham. I know some things I have to do. I remember you put honey on the ham and you put pineapple on the outside of the ham. But she says, I don't know. So the mom gave her some instructions of how hot and how long and all that stuff. And then she gave her a weird instruction. Cut off one third of the ham and save it for later. So she cut off one third of the ham. She cooked the ham. Everybody was happy at Thanksgiving. It was perfect. But later on, she started wondering, why did I cut off a third of the ham? So she calls her mom. And she says, Mom, why do I cut off a third of the ham? Because my mom cut off a third of the ham. Of course, you do things like that, folks. You just pass it down. So her grandmother was still alive. So later on, she talked to her grandma, and she said, Grandma, why do you cut off a third of the ham? She said, because when I first got married, my pan only held two-thirds of a ham. Now, you think I'm being funny, don't you? Did you just hear most of the stuff that I hear? That's about as deep as it gets. Nobody knows why we're doing what we're doing. Now, I can't say everything about standards tonight, friend. I cannot. But I'm going to say a couple of very simple things. What does the Lord want us to know or understand about? I don't care the language you use. Traditions, and again, I've already preached. Does everybody in this room have traditions? So, you know, I was at house today. I looked over. There was some candy there. There was some candy in our house, and there was this huge sign right above the candy. It says, not for the old man. It's like, great. I looked at the candy. It looks like fruit. Little pieces about this big, and I knew what it was. Marzipan. Come from the same background. I know exactly. Some of you are like, who, what, where? Marzi who? Just comes from a certain culture. If there would have been good old slimy, what is that stuff in a white sauce? Oh, herring in a white sauce. Why did I like that as a kid? I don't know. Anyhow, friend, you have traditions. Look at me. You pass those traditions. Some of them are okay. So what is the first thing the Lord wants us to understand? Here's, I'm only saying three things tonight. Number one, get your bearings. Get your bearings. What's the most important thing? Not how you wash your hands. Not how you get your hair cut. I can remember being in Bible college. This wouldn't bother most of you. This is such a distant age. I was in the Navy for 6 years. Nobody ever told me to get a haircut. Why? Because you get a haircut. I go to Bible college and they're telling me to get a haircut. I'm 25, 26, 27, 28, 29 years old. And for them, Christianity is how short your hair is. I even heard a sermon that Jesus had short hair. Prove it. Oh, I also heard that a sermon by Jackie Boy that he didn't have a beard. Of course, the Bible talks about his beard, you know, plucking it, but skip over that. Get your bearings. Look at verse 10 and 11, would you please? Here's where your bearings need to be. He called the multitude and said unto them, hear and understand. Not that which goeth into the mouth defiles a man, but that which cometh where? Out of the mouth, that defileth a man. He's already said in the previous text that I dealt with in verse 7, 8, 9. Look at 7, 8, 9. You hypocrites, well did Isaiah prophesy of you, saying, this people draweth nigh unto me with their mouth and honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. You see, you gotta get your bearings. Hear and understand. It's inside out, not outside in. Let me say it again. It's inside out, not outside in. But most of the things that I was taught as a young man, you start with the outside and you never talk about the inside. The inside is where the action is. What's going on the inside? We have struggled in Christianity in general with rules and standards. We have forced people to conform. We have applied rules for people to conform. And what I have found is, if we're not careful, we have some very compliant rebels who then, look at me, the moment they're out of your sight, they just become a rebel. When they're around you, but on the inside, see, nothing's happened here. Get your bearings. Where's your problems? Where's the difficulties lie? The difficulties aren't the haircut. They aren't the suit. The difficulties are within. So all of Christianity is inside out. Now, I'm going to say two more things about that. It's inside out, not outside in. It's inside first, and then the outside. And it's inside, which will eventually take care of the outside. I'm not saying the outside is not important, but inside out. By the way, and if you don't like this, you take it up with Jesus. And if you grew up in a circles where standards were everything, God bless you. Here's the problem. We got in our circles, we have most people that have no standards of any variety, and another group that think that's the world. No, it has to start inside and it works itself out. Wes, this sermon's not about you, honestly. I had this written 3 weeks ago, but I when you were here, and I didn't know you were going to be here until this morning, I thought of myself, because you grew up in a much more Christian home, with the exception of your father, but everybody else. Joke, friends, joke. I grew up in a Christian mother, but my dad wasn't Christian. So I will just say this to you, and I want to say this about my mother. I love my mother. My daughter thinks that I think she's perfect. I do. But my mother had one glaring weakness. She did not understand that my culture was different than hers. And friends, the difference between somebody growing up in the Great Depression and somebody growing up in the 60s from the hippie culture was two different worlds. So I messed up pretty bad. When I joined the United States Navy, 1975, I had grown up, I knew what was right, I knew what was wrong. In boot camp, the Lord started working in my life. I was saved, but that's it. I had never really read the Bible on my own. Can I tell you this? Starting to read the Bible on my own was the first step. I read the entire New Testament, Psalms and Proverbs, in boot camp. On my own. I still have it in some box. I remember I'd heard it, and I said it had to be me. So in boot camp, I started reading the Bible, but I still wasn't there. Because for me, I don't know how to put this all together. But when I say get your bearings, I don't mean there's things you don't do. I mean these have to become part of the internal man so they come out of the person. They're not just, we'll come to it point two, not just adopted from someone else. So I struggled. I'll be specific. I struggled with rock culture. There hasn't been a rock culture since the 70s. After 75, 76, 77, it went in multiple ways. And now culture is totally chaos of all kinds of little pieces. I can't even preach a sermon against culture tonight because it's so messed up. But I knew what was right, I knew what was wrong, and I knew I had to deal with three things. Drinking, smoking pot. If I'd only known that it would be legal. I remember when it was legalized, somebody sent me something that said, the hippies have won. I struggle with drinking, smoking pot, and hear me, much more importantly, rock culture. Because see, I was a guy that wanted the rock culture. I wanted the whole package. I thought about that. My whole world. I struggled. I had two separate events. November 23rd, 1975. Yes, it's been a long time ago. Wes, how old were you November 23rd, 1975? His dad was 1 year old. The old man you're looking at hasn't smoked pot or touched a drop of alcohol since November 23rd, 1975. But I want you to hear me. That wasn't my problem. Get your bearings. Inside, it comes out. Inside, out. Not outside, in. Get your bearings. Jesus is the one that says it. I don't. It's not that you bring in. It's that which comes out. Get your bearings, because I'm going to say this kindly. My problem wasn't drinking. My problem wasn't smoking pot. My problem wasn't rock culture. My problem is I wanted to fit in and please people and be cool and be part of the group. So my second big event was in November 23rd, 1975, and June or July, it's been too many years. The next summer, I came home. I drove home for the first time since boot camp. Now I'm back with my old buddies. And by the way, here's the thing. I had lived for the Lord in South Carolina the whole time. I had done right. I'd been in church, sang in the choir. Could you imagine singing? You do not want to hear me sing in the choir. The only difference in their choir and our choir is nobody could sing in the choir in South Carolina. None of them. I've told you, a gunny sergeant was the drill sergeant that ran the choir. Turn your Bibles to 1 Thessalonians 2, verse 4. This is a verse that's helped me at times through my life. By the way, I'm not a sinless person. None of us are. We're not talking about that. I'm talking about bigger issues. 1 Thessalonians 2, verse 4. The whole passage is important, but the second half is more important for you tonight. Paul says this, "But as we were allowed of God to be put in trust with the gospel, even so we speak." Now, from there, you say, "Well, I'm not a pastor. I don't care." Well, let's just take the second half of the verse for you. "Not as pleasing men, but God, which trieth our heart." My friend, get your bearings. The issue for Ralph Warren was to be cool, was to fit in, was to get along, was to go along, was to be accepted, was to please people. So let me say it. I've said it before. My big problem wasn't drinking. Now, if you drink long enough, it will be your big problem. But I was young. My big problem was I wanted to fit in and be cool, and I would do anything to do that. There comes a time when I drove home. I still remember my Volkswagen Rabbit driving from South Carolina. This was before the good roads through the mountains. Remember in the old days you had to switch, Pam would know, you had to switch back through those mountains. Oh, it was, I drove from Beaufort, South Carolina to where I grew up in southwestern Illinois alone, and the whole time I had one thing on my mind. Was I willing to lose my friends back home? When I got home, I lost pretty much all of them. And I survived. So I'm going to ask you, do you have your bearings? Now, I want to say this. If you've been doing something for 30 years, it's going to be hard to get your bearings because you've already been playing external stuff. But the real issues are always internal. Get your bearings. It's about the heart. It's about the center. It's about where things come from, not the things that are coming in, but the things that are coming out. Get your bearings. I'll just say this to you. Wes, I like Wes. He's a lot like Grandpa. Not as sophisticated yet. But my friend, you're going to be experiencing this right up front and personal. And you're going to have to decide, sorry, not who Dad is, not who Mom is, not who Grandpa is. Though I hope you pay attention to Grandpa at least. You're going to have to figure out who Wes is. Can I get an amen from any man in this room? Cliff, this is what you got to do in the Navy. Embarrassing thing to me, it was to hear about guys that were chiefs in the United States Navy, then when they were out on a ship and they pulled in, guys that were Christians back home weren't Christians on the ship. That's inconceivable to me. But here's the reason. They didn't have their bearings. They did things externally, and that was okay, but when they got other places, well, we go to the second point. Let's look back in your Bibles, please. Look at verse 12 to 14, please. 12 to 14. So, get your bearings, inside out. You start on the inside, dealing with the causes. Why do I want to do this? Why am I trying to fit in? Why can't I just, by the way, be a Christian, do what's right? Verse 12, then came his disciples and said unto him, knowest thou that the Pharisees were offended after they heard this saying? What's their problem? They're worried about the Pharisees. What are the Pharisees going to think of us? Here's my second point. Are you right? By the way, these are simple. No borrowed convictions. No borrowed convictions. No borrowed convictions. Once you'd established who you are and you have established that, then it's you. But if you borrow convictions, every place you are, you're a different person. So if you see me, by the way, I'm going to try to get him here this year, my next year. My friend Philip Scott. Phil's unsaved. I like Phil. We grew up together. How can I not like him? My goodness, we for 18 years or 16 years, we did almost everything together. He was one of my best buddies in grade school. High school, not as much because of circumstances, and he quit school in 10th grade. But friends, when I go out to eat with him, are you looking at me? I pray. I don't ask his permission. I'm a Christian. How about you? We have borrowed convictions, and there's generations of borrowed convictions, which is the reason Christians are just like the world. You have to figure out who you are. So the Pharisees, they're either offended in the sense that they've taken offense, which is true, or that you have made them stumble and they are angry and furious, maybe both. And it's like, why are you worried about the Pharisees? What are you interested in the Pharisees? No borrowed convictions. Let's look on to verse 13. He says, listen, every plant which my heavenly Father hath not planted shall be rooted up. Let them alone. They be blind leaders of the blind. And if the blind lead the blind, both shall fall into the ditch. Which tells me something, friend. The Pharisees borrowed their convictions from the people that came before them. And we're back to the ham. Why do you cut off a third of the ham? Why do you have all of this stuff? No borrowed convictions. I'm going to nuance that. Joseph back here said something to me, or in my presence, I don't know where it was. I thought it was pretty insightful. The Amish fossilized in the 1650s. The Mennonites in the 1750s. Little House on the Prairie Baptist, 1850s. And most of Independent Baptist movement in the 1950s. So you have to be real careful that you just don't fossilize and do whatever somebody says because somebody said it. It ought to be your convictions. Don't borrow convictions from them because they may or may not know what they're talking about. Worse, things get coercive, destructive, harmful, and oftentimes truly legalistic. I'm going to give some subpoints, but before I do, I got to tell a story. This is a young lady in our church who does not like me. I don't know why she doesn't like me because I'm so likable. If she is on her own, you say, what's her name? Anna. Now, I'm going to blame Ezra on this because I think Ezra has set Anna up. If you have not seen the video, one night, his wife was home. Were you here that night? Yeah, see, he was here. I don't think he was here. I think he was home prompting her. But here's little Anna, and I'm saying something, and she is screaming about Bumpa. Where did she learn Bumpa from? She does love somebody. Mr. Hall. She wanted to see Mr. Hall. She did not want to see Bumpa. Now, I'm going to say this because this is fun. Anna loves me. She talks with me. She hugs me. She greets me. She smiles at me if Jesse is present. And if Jesse is not present, you think I'm kidding you. I see her every day. When Jesse's not present, I'll say it to all the kids. I try to say good morning to all of them if I can, sometimes a couple times a day. I'll peek in and I'll say good morning to, all the kids. And there's Anna. She looks and... Can I tell you, is that not funny? And if you don't believe it, is she here tonight or is she home? Yes, she's at home saying, where's Mr. Hall? I know exactly what's happening. Friends, I know I love little Anna, but she loves me as long as Jesse's there. Sometimes my good daughter will bring the kids up, and if Jesse's not with them or not right there, she doesn't want chocolate. But now, here's the funny thing. If Jesse's with her, Jesse walks right in, he gets his chocolate, he says, thank you. And then here's Anna, smiles, gets her chocolate, thank you. If Jesse's not there, can I say something about you? You're a copycat. Can I have an amen? Most people live their life on borrowed convictions. They don't know why. And I want to say this, most pastors do. And if you ask them why they do this and don't do this, they get infuriated. No borrowed convictions. Don't follow the Pharisees. Let me just give you a few thoughts that might help you. I'm going to nuance my statement. Don't just follow the Pharisees. Or leadership. So let me switch this thing to these two lovely young ladies right here. I like both of you lovely young ladies, and I'm going to speak directly to you. I want both of you to succeed in every area of life, but your convictions, how you live your life, have to become your own. Now, the youngest one, you're a little ways away from that yet. Listen, you know I like you. The older one, here's the problem. It won't be long. You'll be on your own. And there's going to be plenty of guys that tell you how pretty you are. And my first thought is puke all over them. That's really intelligent. Of course, by the way, of course you're lovely. We got it. But who are you? Here's the danger. While you're around us and mom and dad, you have certain convictions. But if they're not yours, you have different convictions in other places. All Jesus is saying, leave them alone. What you do, you make your own for the biblical reasons. You've got to do it. And by the way, Kim, you know I like you. I'm not speaking to Kim. I hope all of you know I'm speaking to everybody. Here's the thing. All of us are going to be in spaces where who we are is challenged. It's harder when you're young. It really is. But it never gets easy. You can still get into a place where it's uncomfortable and you don't want to stand out as a Christian. We were in Peru. Got on the bus, going to some place. 40 people on the bus. Somebody gets on, and they're handing out alcoholic drinks free to everybody. Now, you understand, my son grew up here. He's not perfect. He has his own set of problems, his own choices, by the way. You're going to make choices, too. Everybody does. Here's me. I'm sorry, I don't drink here, I don't drink there, I don't drink anywhere. To quote Dr. Seuss. By the way, I could tell, John didn't have a problem, he doesn't drink. But may I say this, I understand the temptation. All your friends, everybody. So, if you're going to be against drinking, you better figure out, look at me, you better stop just following people. Now, for the lovely younger sister, you're at the age where you're still developing. You're thinking and all of that. Even Kim is. But Kim, sooner or later, you're going to be on you. And drinking and being stupid is pretty common. You're going to find that out in universities. For everybody. Can I have an amen? Not in the military, though. The military, everybody goes, all the guys go to church. Get your bearings. That seems to be obvious. Don't borrow convictions or no borrowed convictions. Or at least this, no permanently borrowed convictions. Take your parents' convictions, live them out, but find out why they do it, and then adopt them for your own. I would say this to the parents. Try not to coerce, nor be coerced. That's the big problem. We coerce people, and then we are coerced ourselves. I think persuade. Let me give you another statement. I like this statement. So, Kim, I'm going to give it to you. I'm going to give it to Wes over here. Trust, try, but verify. Your parents have said things to you. My guess is most of what they have said is very helpful. Trust, try, and verify. Is that fair? Yes or no? Trust your parents, try this by Scripture, and verify it to be true, and then make it your own. It will make you a very healthy person. It'll make you a person that's not given with every wind. You're just blowing all the time. Today, went out to eat. Don't usually do that on Sunday during the day. went out to eat specifically because Satish and Rashida are in India, and Srijit is leaving for India in about an hour and a half. So we'll take him out to eat. Took him to a good place, got some tacos, frijoles, all that good stuff. Friend, have you talked to him? He's going to run circles around two-thirds of the people in this room. Did you hear he's going to run circles around you. He spent most of the time talking about the liberalism of Wheaton. That's where he graduated from. He said most of the professors are liberals there. I'm like, you're a kid. How do you know that? Because his convictions are his. He knows who he is. Knows how to think. Trust, try, but verify. Make sure it's true. Make it your own. So I'm not opposed to the convictions. I'm not opposed to you making the ham like your mother did, so to speak. My mother had certain convictions. But I have worked through all of the convictions that my mother grew up with and on the whole adopted them, some that she didn't have. I think there's a history, a beautiful history of Baptist thinking and Baptist lifestyle from the Bible that's beautiful, but I think you trust, try, and make it your own. Verify it. Bring it into your own life. So get your bearings, no borrowed convictions. Trust, try, verify. Know the reason why. Chapter 15, please, and let's start in verse 15. And we'll be done. I told you, only three statements. Three statements. Get your bearings. No borrowed convictions, or I should say this, no permanently borrowed convictions. Can I say this to all the younger people? Got a lot of, this is the reason I'm preaching. Got a lot of young people here tonight. You're growing up in Christian homes, many of you. You are going to find a Christian from every stripe under the sun. They're going to tell you all kinds of nonsense. You're going to find that you don't really have to do what mom and dad said. What you ought to do is trust, try, and verify. Make it your own. Don't play games. Otherwise, you're just a casualty. Because the pressures put on you this day and age is more than... It was nice in one sense being in the Navy because it was a yes or a no. But today with wokeism and everybody's woke, you were just looked at as a weirdo. I don't want you to be a weirdo, but I do want you to be a Christian and live like it. But you must no permanently borrowed convictions. So if your parents say this is the right way to go, look at me. I was a teenager. Yes, it was centuries ago. I said Wednesday night. Everybody look at me. I said Wednesday night this statement. If there was a choice between a blue box and a red box, and I, the authority, said take the blue box, two-thirds to three-fourths of the people in this room would say, why? You'd struggle with that. So, can I say this, Kim? Kim, I'm sorry. I'm not picking on you. You know that. I like you. When the old man tells you, go through this door, you want to go through the other door. It's just part of the way we all were at that time. Yes? And especially when the old man tells you, you definitely don't want to do it. Can I say something? Trust, try, and verify. My guess is, most of the time, except when he's talking about tacos, he's probably correct. Do you think? By the way, can I say this to you? And I promise you this is true. 10 years from now, you'll look back and say, yeah, he wasn't perfect, but he wasn't bad either. You grow up and realize parents aren't that stupid. Well, let's look at the third part. Third part, I don't have time. And the third part is the hardest part of the sermon. Remember I told you there's two hard parts. Get your bearings inside out. Secondly, no borrowed convictions. But the problem is you're a lot more like Anna than you think. I guarantee you there's people here that could not present why they don't drink in public. And you've been saved for 20, 30, 40 years. You have adopted, and by the way, you've adopted good convictions, but you don't have the reason why. By the way, folks, I know why. Not because I'm a pastor. I knew why before I was a pastor. The third one's the hardest. Verse 15, please. Then answered Peter and said unto him, declare unto us this parable. And Jesus said, Are you also yet without understanding? Do not ye yet understand that whatsoever entereth into the mouth goeth into the belly and is cast out into the drought? Meaning, and that's just kind of simple. There's a cycle. You eat, you digest, you expel. But those things which proceed out of the mouth come from the heart, and they defile the man. For out of the heart proceedeth evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witness, blasphemies. These are the things which defile a man. But to eat with unwashed hands defileth not a man. I know I'm old. Daniel and Sherry's son visited. He's visited twice since they've been here. First time he visited, his hair was long. Now, there was a day when I was a Jackie Boy loyalist that was the be-all. I mean, if your hair was the wrong length, you were going to hell or near it. Can I have an amen? That's how you felt. Here's what's interesting. We went out to eat with Daniel. You were there. And his son was there. And the first thing I realized in about 5 seconds of the conversation, this is a decent guy, Christian guy, very comfortable around Christianity, very much who we are. He just hair is longer than mine. Here's our problem. Here's the third statement. Guard the heart. But what we want to do is get your hair cut. The haircut, do I like long hair? Frankly, folks, I'm just hoping by the time I check out, I still have some hair. You know, haircuts. I understand from 65 or so to 75 or so, hair was an issue. But you know, 2022, if you're still talking about haircuts, unless the guy looks like a woman, then we got another issue, yes or no? Now, we've already talked about why you do what you do. So if a guy has hair in the middle of his back, you probably should try to figure out why. He probably thinks he's pretty. You. Turn your Bibles to Proverbs 4:23, and we'll conclude. Are you all, by the way, I told you that two of the three of these is hard. Get your bearings, inside out. Get your bearings, inside out. Get your bearings, inside out. Why do you do what you do? Number two, don't borrow convictions. No borrow convictions, especially permanently. Number three, guard your heart. Everybody got it? I can preach a whole sermon. I can preach it from memory for the next hour just on this verse. Keep thy heart with all what? Why? For out of it are the issues of life. Can I say something to you and we're done? Just to say guard your heart is the hardest thing you will do the whole time you live. Because your heart is very, look at me, is very deceitful. I said yours, which also means can't get away from it. Can't get away from it. I had a young man, got in trouble in this school. He probably doesn't love me. I have lots of people that don't love me. And I remember he was in big trouble. And by the way, he was in big trouble because I would observe him from my office. Bambi would observe him from her office. Jan would observe him from her office. And when we had chapel, he would do this. When we were praying, people would say, let's pray. And of course, all the unsaved kids were watching him. Well, this went on for months. And I realized the damage he was doing to the unsaved kids. Because he was, you know, a Christian. I hope he is a Christian today. I don't know. I do know this. If he hasn't repented of that, he's not a Christian. You see, here's how you know people are Christians. They can talk the truth about their sin. Not because of religious language. Well, I confronted him, not in a nice way, because I'm not always nice. I'm trying to get nicer. Some of you aren't sure. You know what his words were? Pastor Warren, you don't know my heart. What was he saying? Somebody out there tell me what he was saying. He was saying, what you see is not who I am. My heart tells all. Can I tell you something? When he said, Pastor Warren, you don't know my heart, I said to him, and you don't know your heart either. The heart is the source of it all, and Jesus keeps focusing on it. Can I ask you a question? Why do you do stupid things repeatedly for decades, over and over? Because of the heart. Here's the sermon, and we're done. If you want to deal with separation, standards, traditions, get your bearings. Inside out is the mess, is the way it works. Now, I'm not saying the outside's not important, but it starts inside. Secondly, no borrowed convictions. Let me say it a different way. No permanently borrowed convictions. Roz, you're now almost, you are a junior? Can I say something? You better figure out. You should right now have figured out, but can I say this and not about you? A lot of kids come through Bob Jones. My daughter has so many ex-friends that have abandoned the faith. Like, you graduated from Bob Jones University? You know why? Because they borrowed the convictions while they were there, and then when they got some other place, they were someone else. The convictions have to be yours. Number three, guard your heart. That's the message of Jesus. Father, thank you for this time. Bless our time together. In Christ's name, amen. Let's stand, please.